Well, today we are part of a season where we're talking about getting in rhythm with God, talking about being in step with God. We're talking specifically about practices that help us do this, and today we're talking about meditation. Meditation is really popular today. I know kids learn it in school. Hospitals have meditation rooms, and it's generally a big part of wellness. Or a popular understanding of wellness. And I think a lot of it is vaguely like Buddhist, but it sort of appropriates different kinds of spirituality, including Christian spirituality. And meditation itself is, the word meditation is a Christian word. It's a very Christian word. We see it in the Bible a bunch of times. And so we'll talk about meditation today, meditation as it's taught in the Bible. We're going to be looking at Psalm 1. And so if you can turn there, Psalm 1. It's the first psalm in this collection of psalms. As you're turning there, please pray with me. Lord, just like we prayed, you are like a song with rhythm and with groove. And we pray that we would be in step with you as we learn to do that more and more, better and better. We pray that you'd lead us by your Spirit just as a community here. We're asking that you lead us by your Spirit in this. We thank you for your desire to make beautiful things of us and to make beauty out of our lives. We invite you to do that even now as we look into your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, Psalm 1. This is a picture of a person. It's a picture of a particular kind of life. It starts with this, Blessed is the one who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. This is a picture of life. It's a picture of how you walk, how you sit, and how you stand, walking, sitting, standing. It's basically talking about life. Blessed is the one who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the law. And actually, I'm just going to use the Hebrew original there. His delight is in the Torah of the Lord. His delight is in the Torah of the Lord. I'll talk about Torah in a second. His delight is in the Torah of the Lord, and on his Torah, he meditates. And there's our key word. On his Torah, he meditates day and night, all day, that is. And then there's a picture, an image of a tree, a really healthy tree. He is like a tree planted near streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. And then there's a contrast here starting in verse 4. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff. They're like husks that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Amen. That's Psalm 1. So there's a lot we can talk about here, but we're going to be focusing on verse 2. His delight is in the Torah of the Lord, and on his Torah he meditates day and night. On his Torah he meditates day and night. All right, so I'm going to just be listing three things about meditation that we learn here in Psalm 1. Three things about meditation according to Psalm 1, according to the Bible. All right, number one, meditation in the Bible is about getting filled. It's about eating up. Meditation is about getting filled. And getting filled with what? It's getting filled with Torah, according to Psalm 1, verse 2. It's getting filled with Torah, which is a really big word. It's a really big category of things. I think one way to translate it, you'll see in some English translations, it says instruction of the Lord. And I think that's a nice translation because it really gets into the bigness, instruction. You're like, well, that's kind of vague. That could be anything. Yeah, that's a point. It's a really big category. Some translations will have the law of the Lord. And I think that's an okay, it's an okay kind of traditional translation of the Hebrew, but I think the problem is that for us as, you know, English-speaking readers, law often feels very specific. like, you do this, you don't do this, you know, you shall do this, you shall not do this. But I think that's too specific, that's too narrow. The Torah that Psalm 1 says to meditate on is really diverse. Like, Torah usually actually refers to the whole Bible. So in the Bible, there are commands, yes, but there are songs, there are stories, there's history, there's letters, there are proverbs, there's erotic poetry, there are prophecies, there are apocalyptic sections, there's lament, there's celebration, there's dark, depressing poetry. All these things are Torah. And when we read about meditation in the rest of the Psalms, if you were just to search meditate, or that Hebrew word for meditate, in the Psalms, you'll see that Torah seems even bigger than just the Bible. Like, here's a quick list of the objects of meditation, like what people meditate on in the Psalms. They meditate on God's righteousness. They meditate on God's wisdom. They meditate on God himself. They meditate on the things God does and has done. They meditate on the help God gives. It's not getting filled by just a list of do's and don'ts, but it is getting filled, you know? And furthermore, we can say that when Jesus, when he's giving his Sermon on the Mount and he ends it with very similar words to Psalm 1. He says, if you heed my words, you're like a house built on a rock. If you don't heed my words, you're like a house built on sand. It's the same kind of thing, like chaff versus a healthy tree. So I think what we can understand from this is that Jesus is saying his words are basically like Torah. So when we think of Torah, I don't want us to think, I think Psalm 1's translation for us should be really big, not just like law, do's and don'ts here. Psalm 1, when it says, on his law or on his Torah, he meditates day and night, he's really talking about so many things. He's talking about the words and deeds of Jesus. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about God himself. He's talking about God's deeds. He's talking about God's righteousness, the heart of God. He's talking about all these things. Now, this is really different from like classic kind of Buddhist meditation, which is, I think, at the heart of things about losing yourself. It's about like disconnecting. It's about extinguishing desires. It's about like detachment. See, Psalm 1's meditation is all about connection, not disconnection. It's about connecting with Christ. And it's not about losing desires. It's about taking up the desires of Christ. It's being filled up. It's not emptying yourself. It's actually being filled up with God. It's about eating up. Meditation in the Bible is not about losing things. It's not about letting go. It's not about escaping. Meditation, according to the Psalms, is about getting filled up. It's about eating up. It's about eating up. That's what meditation in the Psalms is about. You know, I think if any of you are wanting to grow in hearing from God, like where prayer is a two-way communication rather than just one way, and I hope everyone is, the way to do that isn't to try to empty your mind. It's actually to fill yourself with God's words, with his deeds. And in the midst of that filling of yourself, what I feel like I've gleaned is that we're able to discern his voice best when that canvas is full, like not when the canvas is empty. I remember when I was a teenager, and I was this really sincere Christian, and I had a really close friend who was also a very sincere Christian, and we were thinking about this, like, man, let's learn to hear from God. Let's hear God's voice. And we're like, yeah, let's do it. You know, and it's like, how do we do that? It's like, well, I guess we just sort of empty our minds and like let's see what God says. You know, and so that's what we did. And it would be like, so I'm telling my, this, my friend's name is Eugene. Anyway, I'm like, it's huge. Did you hear anything? He's like, no. Did you? I'm like, no. Like, let's try it again, you know? And that never worked, you know? But I think why it never worked was that's not how it works in the scripture either, you know? It's not about like, oh, okay, I'm going to empty myself. I'm just going to, you know, just try to empty myself. And then in this, like, plain blank canvas of my mind, and God's going to speak. No, it's actually, we fill ourselves up. It's not like this clean, like minimalist canvas that God likes to draw on. It's like, it's all white. And then there's like, you know, in 10-point, like really thin font, you know, like, I love you, period. You know, it's like, oh man, that's beautiful, amen. You know, but it's actually more biblically, the picture would be, this canvas is just full of stuff. You know, it's like bricolage. It's like full of stuff. It's collage. It's so many things happening, so many beautiful things. And in that beautiful just mess, full of thoughts about the Lord, full of the things he says, the things he does, you know, God makes things stand out to us. You know, that's often the way it works. I would say for all of us here, you know, whether you're a Christian or you don't consider yourself a Christian, I'd say give this a try. Rather than, like, thinking of meditation as, like, a wellness practice where you escape and try to disconnect yourself, try to connect with something, but try to connect with God's beauty. Try to connect with God's words, God's deeds. You know, it's easier often, and I don't know, maybe it's a cultural thing, but I think it's just a human thing. It's often easier to focus on negative things in our lives. You know, even if we have a lot of positive things going on, for some reason, we just tend to, like, cling to the negative. We cling to our pain, even if we've experienced a lot of great things. You know, we have a tendency to, you know, hold on to the negative. And I don't know, it's just who we are. We focus on regrets. We focus on past hurts. We focus on our shortcomings. Or, you know, in traditional kind of meditation in our wellness culture, we try to escape them in our minds. We just run away and just clear our minds. Instead of doing this, I just encourage you, what Psalm 1 teaches us to do, try to think about, try to talk about the beauty of God. Paul says at the beginning, at the end of his letters, his letter to the Philippian church, whatever is pure, whatever is beautiful, whatever is excellent, whatever is lovely, that's a word, whatever is lovely. That's not a word I often use, lovely, but that's a very biblical word. Whatever is lovely, think about these things. All right, number two, meditation according to the Psalms is often spoken out loud. It's not private thoughts. It's speaking out loud. So this is also very different from kind of common pictures of meditation, because I think usually our picture of meditation is silence. I'm going to get away. I'm going to be by myself in a room and just, you know, silence. Maybe there's some music, but I just want to just get away and, like, be by myself, and everything's very inward. Everything's internal. But actually, when you look at meditation, this word meditate in the Bible, especially in the Psalms, it's about speaking things out loud. There's a very famous verse that sounds just like the Psalm 1 verse in Joshua chapter 1. And he says, do not let this Torah depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night. Don't let it depart, not from your head, not from your, like, internal private thought, but don't let it depart from your mouth, because the assumption is the way they meditate on things in the ancient world is they talk about them. They say them out loud because, I mean, part of it's just kind of common sense if you think about that time, because not every, you know, there's no publishing, there's no printing press, there's no huge publishing industry. You just, you know, you hear it mostly. It's mostly oral. It's not like everyone has their own copy of Torah, like, in, or like five copies of Torah in their house. It's mostly oral. So when people talk about meditating on God's Torah, it's speaking it out loud. That's why Deuteronomy 6, it says, talk about the Lord's deeds, talk about his words as you walk with your children. As you just live your life with your family, talk about them. Matthew 28, Jesus says, and this is the name of our church, Great Commission. The Great Commission says, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything I've told you. Teaching them. It's speaking out loud. It's meditating out loud. It's not just have some private thoughts in my inner spirit, I'm thinking about God. No, it's speaking it out loud. It's speaking out loud, yeah, speaking out loud to God through prayer. It's speaking out loud to other people. It's speaking out loud to others, like, outside of the church. You know, people who don't believe in God, who know very little about Jesus. That's part of our meditation according to the Psalms. You know, I remember when this seemed a lot more uncomfortable for me. There was this time, a friend of I was living with roommates, and my roommates and I had this friend, and she was over, and this one time I just happened to be listening to a song about Jesus' story of the prodigal son. You know, I think a lot of us know that story. It's a story about a father with two sons, and one's a terrible son, but the father was a really radical father for that time. He is incredibly forgiving and kind to that son. And it's a story called The Prodigal Son, and this song that I was listening to is based on that story. And she's like, "What are you listening to?" And, you know, and I don't want to be like, nothing. I was like, so I was just, you know, I was just saying, oh, it's actually this song. It's a song about the story that Jesus told. I'm like, oh, what's that story? Yeah, it's a story about these two brothers and their dad. And I explained the story, like, have you heard of this story? She's like, no. And so I filled her in. And she's like, that's a beautiful story. And I'm like, yeah, it is. That was me meditating on God's word with her. Okay, meditation isn't this private thing where you just write in your journal or just, you know, get alone and just think private thoughts. Meditation, according to the Bible anyway, meditation according to the Bible is often out loud. It's speaking it. It's not private study. A lot of times we think that even attention to the Bible is primarily like a private thing, because we often tend to be focused, and maybe it's just because we're so American and we're so individualistic, and we're focused on what God is saying to me rather than what God is saying to us. Yeah, he has words for each of us, but we need some awareness of how, you know, I guess how American and how individualistic we are and how we bring that to the Bible, because it's easy for us to come to the Bible when we're by ourselves and even when we're together as a church looking for a word for me rather than a word for us. But the Bible isn't just written for you. It's written for us. You know, a great question. Actually, you know, let me just tell you real quick about this thing called Discovery Bible Studies. And I'd love to do a Discovery Bible Study with people, and I'd love for any of you to put one together. It's just, it's a really non-church people-friendly way of studying the Bible. And basically, you read a passage, and then you ask four questions. Really simple. Like, every time it's the same four questions. What is this saying about God? What is this saying about people? How can I respond to this? And who else could really use this word? You know, and I really like that last question. Who else could really use that word? Because any meditation of the Bible that we do, any study of the Bible that we do, if it's not just me focused, a really good question for us is, who besides myself could really benefit from hearing this word? You know, so practically, I would encourage you to think every day, like every day. So just like the Psalm says, on his Torah, this person who is so blessed, meditates day and night. So a practical plan, like every day. With whom can I talk out loud about these things? About Torah, about God, about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit, about the things he says, about the things he does. Who can I talk about? Every day, who can I talk about this with? You know, maybe my roommate, maybe my friend, you know, maybe my spouse, maybe my kid, maybe my brother, maybe my small group, maybe, you know, my colleagues, you know, maybe you know, other friends, whether they're part of this church or not. I encourage you, if you don't, you know, consider yourself a Christian, you're listening to this, I suggest you try this. Speak whatever you know. You know, even if you don't have everything, like, kind of figured out, the things you do know, just speak to people. Speak to people around you about it. See how it goes. Hang out with some Christians. Go to a small group. See how it goes to talk about these things out loud, like, and meditate out loud in this way. This is how we get in rhythm with God. So number one, meditation is on Torah, which is a big category. Number two, meditation is out loud. And number three, meditation, according to the Psalms, is often done during hard times. Meditation, according to the Psalms, is often done during hard times. Many psalms where this word meditating appears are about suffering. And the most typical context of meditating in the psalms is hard times. Okay, it's not like, oh man, everything is going so awesome. I love life. It's so sweet and so great. Everything's so easy. And I'm going to meditate on you, Lord. It's typically, I'm on my sick bed. Everyone seems to be against me. How long must I suffer? And I will meditate on you. That's typical. Meditation, according to the Psalms, is often done during hard times. It's often done during our dark nights. It's often done on our beds of illness when all our thoughts are negative. You know, that's at least when the psalmists meditate. The Psalms invite us to meditate when we're mentally and emotionally exhausted. It invites us to meditate on the Lord's word when we're anxious, even anxious to the point of despair. It invites us to meditate on his deeds when we're ill, when we're broken. It invites us to have this meditation of the Lord be our song in the night. It invites us to remember, to call to mind God, to talk about God with simple faith, with trust that's even a tense trust, you know, with dialogue that's sometimes very thin. You know, sometimes you don't have to say a lot, especially in hard times. You know, sometimes it's just like sitting with God, sitting with other people with simple faith and tense trust. Maybe a lot of times it's just meditating on the fact that Jesus knows what it's like to be on a bed of sickness, to be exhausted, even to feel abandoned. I think one big temptation we need to overcome during hard times is a temptation to isolate ourselves, to disconnect from other people and from God, you know, to stop talking to people, at least in a substantive kind of way, to stop meditating on God's words and deeds with other people, you know, to stop being with God and praying and meditating with God. You know, in Psalm 1, which is an introduction to the rest of the Psalms, you know, so many of those Psalms about suffering, so many of them about meditating about God's words and deeds during hard times. In Psalm 1, the psalmist says, blessed is the one who meditates on God's Torah day and night, that is, every circumstance. Blessed is the one who meditates on God's Torah all the time. You know, I know this can be very tough because, again, we have this inclination. I don't know if it's because we're American or I think it's just because we're people. It's much easier when we're going through a hard time to disconnect somehow than to connect. You know, instead of like reaching out and even like leaning on people, there's this river in us that is making us go the other way and like disconnect from people. I know we've heard really great stories, you know, like very honest and in some ways very beautiful stories about this from people in our church. I know for myself, like I went through a really hard time in my early 20s. So like when I think back at that time, it was, I think, just made worse because I sort of isolated myself, you know, and I don't know why I did. I mean, I guess it's just I don't want to talk about it. It was sort of exhausting to talk about. Maybe it was like this, I don't know, this kind of perverse nobility that I'm like, oh, I won't burden other people with it. I don't know. But that tendency was definitely there. You know, I'll just share a little bit. Like, so right after I graduated from college, like in the space of about 2 years, I had a bunch of things happen. So like my mom, she had this really major spinal cord injury that left, initially it was a paralyzing injury. She had to go through rehab, but it was a really hard time. In that same space, my older sister was diagnosed with cancer. and underwent treatment. My father, just shortly after that, was also diagnosed with cancer and went through treatment. And at the time, I was engaged to a person I loved, and that engagement went on the fritz and ended. So it was all happening in this relatively short space of time. And you know, I would like to say, like, at that time, that's when I reached out to my friends, and man, they really picked me up and they carried me. I would like to say, man, if you, because I'm a guy who like likes to write in journals and I pray. I don't just say, like, this is what happened to me, like, you know, like when I was 16, you know, there's no lock or anything. It's just like a prayer journal, you know. It's not like, does she like me? You know, it wasn't that. It was just like, dear God, like every page, like, Lord, you know. But I filled up, like, I had stacks of notebooks and journals. And I guess I would like to say, oh, in that space of really hard times, man, like, I had another stack, and that was such a fruitful time. And just, no, it was actually a time where I wrote in journals very, very little. And I say this not just like, not as like, man, what a great example, but I just say that as a way of saying, like, I know that it's easy to do that. But the invitation of the Psalms is not to do that. And it's an invitation not to empty yourself. It's not an invitation to escape. It's an invitation to eat up out loud with others, including God. I'm going to read this invitation that we actually started our worship today with. You know, this is what Andrew read at 11 o'clock. This is from Matthew 11, and it's a message version of the last few verses of Matthew 11. Jesus says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." That's the invitation of the Psalms, to meditate on his Torah day and night, to say it out loud, to say it especially during hard times. Let's pray. I just want to encourage you just to take this to heart, this invitation, this very gentle invitation from Jesus, an invitation from the Psalms. And this whole thing, again, is about how can I be in rhythm with God. If God is a song, how can I be in groove with this song? How can I be part of this song? And one practice that the Bible commends to us is meditating, again, meditating out loud, filling ourselves, not emptying ourselves, but filling ourselves with God's words and his deeds, his beauty, his loveliness. And one way we do that is just by coming here on Sundays. And so I invite you, you know, just to pray. You know, you can just pray on your own just for a moment. Just commit kind of to the Lord. Just say, you know, I want to do this. And I want to be like that blessed person in Psalm 1, someone who meditates on you day and night, especially during hard times. Meditates on you with others. To say, I want to do that. And I encourage you even to think, again, in this space that we have, just to think every day, you know, starting tomorrow, you know, every day, is there someone I can talk to about this? You know, and it doesn't have to be like necessarily deep things, but, you know, who can I, on a daily basis, who can I, you know, day by day, you know, and it will be different people, maybe different people day by day, but think of some people. Think of ways that you can just get down and pray, even by yourself to God as well. You know, think about maybe a small group that you're a part of. And just maybe with your own heart, make a promise, but, you know, make some kind of resolution and say, yeah, I can do this. Let's give you a moment. And then after that, we're going to sing this song together called Still. And again, it's just a way for us. This is what we do every Sunday. We get together and we're just meditating together on who God is and taking in his beauty. We're not emptying ourselves. We're just getting filled up with him and his stuff, his rhythm. So just take a moment. And then after that, we'll sing this song together, meditate on God's goodness together.